Bitcoin preserves wealth. A lot of people wonder, what is Bitcoin for and how does it compare to other asset classes? Today, we are going to dive into this topic. Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. Today's question comes from you. Now remember that TBL Pro members are able to request custom episodes from us, as well as participate in live virtual Q&As. One is coming up this Thursday on June 20th. So make sure to catch us at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe to become TBL Pro. Adam asks us, hey guys, thanks for your work. Do you agree that Bitcoin already offers a distinct advantage due to its deflationary characteristics and independence from central bank policies? Do you think investors are already recognizing Bitcoin's potential to preserve wealth in times of economic uncertainty, or rather a defensive investment strategy, especially during recession, still includes Bitcoin and relies on bonds? So we think this is a great question from Adam, and I wanted to break it down because there's so much to unpack here. And I have some charts to accompany my answer. Now let's start with the last part of the question first. Adam is asking if during a recession, a defensive investment strategy would go to bonds and avoid Bitcoin. So there's a lot to get into here, and it really comes down to time frames. I should note that the Bitcoin Layer, we do not offer investment advice. Our job is to provide independent research to give you the ability to make your own investment decisions with as much information as you can get. So with that being said, let's talk about what would you do in a recession from an investment standpoint. It does come down to time horizons. In the short time horizon, let's talk about inside of 1 year. What should you do from an investment standpoint in a recession? You should get defensive. So traditionally, that means to go out of risky assets into safer assets. And I always like to use an AB type of portfolio example when talking about this. Let's say you have access to only two investments, stocks and treasuries. In that example, in a recession, you would want to go out of stocks and into treasuries. Remember, this example only has A and B as options in the portfolio. But if you were to have, let's say, only stocks as your options and your AB is then riskier tech stocks, let's say from the NASDAQ, and then in the B category is defensive utility companies that are more longstanding. In this type of AB portfolio, you would want to exit the riskier stocks and go into the utilities. So that is the traditional portfolio approach, the portfolio manager's approach to a slowing economy. You want to go out of riskier assets and into safer assets. So Adam is asking that, does that still hold in a recession? Should you be going out of riskier assets like stocks and going into treasuries, taking that one step further and saying, should we go out of Bitcoin and go into bonds in a recession? So while, yes, this is a loaded question, there are really two schools of thought that we can put forth here. Again, coming back to time horizon. In the short time horizon, you want to avoid all risky assets. And because of Bitcoin's correlation with the stock market, Bitcoin should experience some downward price movement if the stock market is expected to go down a lot. Now, in a mild recession, we have been talking about the Bitcoin Layer, how a mild recession or a small slowdown in the economy could be good for risk assets, as a slowdown in the economy would cause liquidity to come back, the Fed to cut rates, potentially have to expand its balance sheet again, have the fiscal side of things come back into play, and have more stimulative policies on the fiscal side, and all of that will create good conditions for stocks. On the other side, if a recession is very, very bad, that will affect profit margins to the point where stocks will also come down. In that environment, we would imagine Bitcoin to have correlation with the stock market and get dragged down because of it. I do want to talk about how we relate Bitcoin and stocks here for a second before we fully answer this question about the recession. The Bitcoin Layer is sponsored by River. River is a Bitcoin-only exchange if you guys are looking for a place to get allocated. Go check them out today at river.com/TBL for a special offer of up to $100 in Bitcoin for free when you purchase. The most important thing about River is that River does not use a third-party custodian for Bitcoin. That means when you purchase Bitcoin on River, River has its own storage solution and is not relying on any third party to custody that Bitcoin. It also means that they have an amazing technical expertise. It's a great team over there at River. Go check them out, river.com/TBL. Now, I know what you guys might be thinking. How can we just put Bitcoin and stocks in the same category and answer the question about recession by considering these things the same thing? And you're absolutely right, we can't. Bitcoin really is a nascent technology. The fact that it is trading alongside stocks has a lot to do with the fact that Bitcoin is seeing much greater financialization here in the year 2024 than we've ever experienced. Now, Bitcoin is well over a $1 trillion asset. There are Bitcoin ETFs, Bitcoin futures, Bitcoin options, exchanges all around the world, and the ability for investors and traders to very quickly enter and exit Bitcoin positions and arbitrage different Bitcoin instruments. So that would mean going long a Bitcoin spot instrument and going short a Bitcoin futures contract in order to capture the spread between those two prices. Because Bitcoin is seeing such great financialization, really worldwide and at an incredible pace, with very institutional players that are now in this game. Because Bitcoin is seeing this type of financialization, you can expect, you definitely can expect Bitcoin to correlate and to trade with the stock market and with other asset classes. This is a function of algorithmic trading. Algorithmic trading happens when investors and traders are designing computer programs, algorithms that trade a bunch of assets automatically based off of rules. And these rules, when they get triggered, trigger trades. And what are the trades that get triggered? They're trades in Bitcoin, they're trades in stocks, currencies, and rates, and other instruments. And now Bitcoin is in the category of algo-driven trading activity. That is why you will see an extremely high co-movement of Bitcoin with other asset classes. With that being said, Bitcoin still has its own unique fundamentals in that it is a brand new technology, 15 years old, that is here to present an alternative to the financial system entirely. And so Bitcoin can, has, and will decouple from other asset classes when it experiences extreme moves, both up and down, but most importantly, for the longevity of this asset class, the moves to the upside. The moves to the upside that are in the extreme category, when Bitcoin can double in the span of a couple weeks, that type of price behavior doesn't fall through to other asset classes, meaning it is completely unique to Bitcoin. Generally speaking, owning Bitcoin has been really this experience of mostly correlation to stocks until sudden decoupling when Bitcoin moves extremely either up or down. And that is why trading Bitcoin, getting in and out of Bitcoin positions, can be fatal because you can miss the period in which Bitcoin briefly separates itself from every other asset class and experiences these enormous returns, why Bitcoin is up several million percent over the last dozen years. So now let's look at this chart between Bitcoin and stocks. And what you can see here is that the percentage performance behavior between the two instruments is very mirroring. Okay, in green, you have the stock market's year-over-year change, and in orange, Bitcoin's year-over-year change. Now, what I had to do for Bitcoin is I had to cut off the extreme highs of the scale so that when Bitcoin goes up 1,000% year over year, for example, we don't lose sight of the price change relationship between Bitcoin and stocks here. But yes, of course, during most of the time, Bitcoin and stocks are moving somewhat together. And that is because Bitcoin and stocks are both considered risk assets by the algorithmic world and really at large by the investment world. Now, the investment world understands that Bitcoin is risky but presents the opportunity for extreme upside. It is uncertain whether that expression by going long the investment is an expression of Bitcoin as a new technology that has the potential to replace a lot of the financial system, or it is just seeking beta, meaning upside exposure to when risk assets go up in price. Now, I know a lot of you understand that Bitcoin is an expression of that alternative to the financial system, and that is why you own it. But that it does not mean necessarily that that's the reason that many investors own it. In fact, if you look at this chart, it's evidence that many investors are not thinking about Bitcoin as an alternative to the financial system. They're merely thinking of it as another risk asset that offers additional upside to where they might get from the S&P or the NASDAQ. So now that we have talked about Bitcoin and the stock market and their relationship, let's talk about what we believe here at the Bitcoin Layer, what I've written about in my book, Layered Money, and what we've been talking about this whole time in terms of the Bitcoin layer. In a layered money system, we have assets and liabilities. The assets are used to create money or liabilities for the system to then utilize to finance transactions or to engage in commerce with each other. So really, today's system uses liability-based money. This is why we live in a debt-based world. But Bitcoin, much like gold, is an asset that doesn't have a liability. And so Bitcoin as money is really not the best description. Bitcoin as an asset is a better description for what Bitcoin is, because Bitcoin does not itself exist as the liability on the balance sheet of a financial institution. It's a commodity. It's been described as a virtual commodity. It's been described as property and as an asset. And these are all better ways to describe Bitcoin versus just calling Bitcoin a type of money. Because all types of money today that you have, unless it is a physical piece of gold, which is still considered money all around the world and in its ability to be exchanged for currency on the spot, you have liability money. Deposits are liabilities of commercial banks. Paper cash, that is a liability of the central bank. Money market fund shares, those are the liabilities of money market fund investment managers that own treasury bills and other short-term fixed income instruments, which are also liabilities of the issuer. So we live in a debt-based system. Bitcoin being a commodity, even though it is virtual, it is still not a liability. And that really comes down to how Bitcoin comes into existence via the proof of work mechanism. and Bitcoin's blockchain. So that is why you hear why Bitcoin is a commodity, and a commodity is a better way to describe Bitcoin than money, and a better way to describe Bitcoin than the word currency, even though Bitcoin can circulate as a currency and be used as a currency. Bitcoin as currency or Bitcoin as money is just not, it's simply not the best way to describe what the thing Bitcoin is. Bitcoin can act as money. It can serve as currency. But what it really is an asset. And that asset, whether it's commodity or a property, because if you own a house, that's a property, that's an asset. If you own a barrel of oil, that is a commodity, it's an asset. If you own a gold coin, that's an asset or a commodity. If you own a warehouse with a stockpile of copper, that is also, all that copper is a commodity and it's an asset. And if you own all of those commodities without any note against it or any lien against it, you own a thing. And that thing that you own, that house or that warehouse of copper, would you call it money? Would you call it a currency? Not necessarily. You could say I can convert it easily to a currency, but it's not the best way to describe those assets. So instead of calling Bitcoin money or a currency, think of it as an asset first. Now back to Adam's original question. In a recession, what should you do with your Bitcoin? Should you trade out of it? Is basically what Adam's question. And without giving Adam investment advice, what we would say is if you are expecting or if you are only focused on the short-term time horizon, you can expect Bitcoin to trade off if you expect stocks to trade off in a large recession. We completely understand people being very short-term focused when it comes to asset prices going up and down. We are not a trading shop. We're not a trading service. And people often ask me, Nick, you must trade Bitcoin. No, I don't. I make my own investment allocations as I go throughout the year. But that doesn't mean that I'm sitting here buying and selling Bitcoin on a daily, weekly, or even monthly basis based off of the charts and the price action. Because I'm here to participate in Bitcoin over a long-term time horizon. Because Bitcoin is emerging as a commodity that has never existed before. This type of monetary commodity that is purely digital in nature, that doesn't have a center. This type of commodity has never existed. That is why we are building the Bitcoin layer here and why we are researching this new asset class, because it really is unprecedented. But if you look on a short-term time horizon, like we showed you in that last chart, sure, of course, Bitcoin will tick down with stocks even extremely far in a large contraction of liquidity or economic activity. Remember again that economic activity contracting will have a response from central banks of a large liquidity injection or the expansion of the monetary system, which will be supportive to Bitcoin in the first place, which again goes back to the question, why would you want to trade out of Bitcoin if the reaction function from the system is to expand? Are you going to play your cards in a way where you're only focused on the immediate contraction, even if it can last for a year or more, which in Bitcoin, a lot of the drawdowns do? If you are here to participate in Bitcoin because of the monetary expansion elsewhere that cannot be applied to this new virtual commodity, then why would you be thinking about Bitcoin in terms of relating it to stocks? And that is my answer to the question, is that in times of economic uncertainty, would you recognize Bitcoin's potential to preserve wealth? Yes, Absolutely yes. Empirically, what we've seen is that Bitcoin doesn't go down over any time horizon longer than 4 or 5 years. So is that consistent with wealth preservation? I would argue absolutely yes. Now let's go back to the first part of the question. Do you agree that Bitcoin already offers a distinct advantage due to its deflationary characteristics and independence from central bank policies? That question has to be answered in two parts. What are the policies of central banks? It's inflation, right? 2% inflation is their target. 5% inflation can be tolerated even for an extended period of time. And what the government is doing is expanding its balance sheet by borrowing more and more money year after year, growing the deficits, growing the total debt, and putting more money into the system in an inflationary type of way. So the system that we live in is inflationary, and Bitcoin is described as deflationary because it cannot be inflated in the same type of way that the current system has. And so when you think about owning Bitcoin and approaching other assets over a long-term time horizon, we see an incredible amount of power emerge from owning Bitcoin. In this first chart, I want to show you Bitcoin relative to other type of monetary instruments. So the treasury supply, that's marketable treasuries, 27 trillion. Total debt right now, 35 trillion US treasuries, 17 trillion in commercial banking deposits, 6 trillion in money market fund assets, and only $1.3 trillion in Bitcoin as a monetary asset. So Bitcoin's still very, very small relative to a lot of these other monetary measures. In this next chart, I show you in red the size of central banks plus commercial banks' asset base across the world. Also remember that the capital base of these banks is a small percentage of their total assets, but that is what banks do. They take a small amount of capital, they leverage it up, they buy assets, and then they create liabilities, monetary instruments, basically what they owe to their investors. And through that creation, that fractional reserve creation, we get this enormous stock of financial assets throughout the system that is only being backed by a small amount of capital. $116 trillion worth of central bank and bank assets around the globe. This compares to over $1 trillion of Bitcoin. We're talking about over $100 trillion of banking assets. Now, to answer Adam's question, I want to drive home the point here that Bitcoin, owning Bitcoin, allows you to participate in deflation, exactly the opposite of the system that we live in today. So I've taken these charts starting in the year 2016. 2016, I picked this year because this is when Bitcoin was coming into SegWit. This is the segregated witness update to Bitcoin, in which Bitcoin really put to bed this idea that there could be multiple cryptocurrencies that serve as the world's money. It has been proven that alternative cryptocurrencies merely exist for technological solutions that are not global money. When it comes to global money, there is only one, and it is Bitcoin. So we look here at the S&P 500 priced in Bitcoin since the beginning of 2016. In the beginning of 2016, it would take you between 4 and 5 Bitcoin to purchase one size of the S&P 500. Now you can buy the S&P 500 with only less than 10% of one Bitcoin. 0.082 Bitcoin is all it would take to purchase the entire S&P 500. Talk about an enormous deflation. Now let me put this in terms that you Americans might understand a little bit easier when it comes to Bitcoin's power of deflation. This here is from the beginning of 2016, the median U.S. home priced in Bitcoin. So 8 years ago, it would take you approximately 500 Bitcoin to purchase the median house in the United States of America. Okay? Now it will take you less than 7 Bitcoin. So we are talking about a deflation so extreme that if you had invested in Bitcoin instead of a house, you could potentially have dozens of homes now. And that is how to think about Bitcoin as property. Think about if you had dozens of homes, you could rent them out and you could generate income. That is why these real estate pieces of property have value. Some of that value is derived from the ability to generate rental income. Now you have all of this property, you can generate the rental income, but if you had instead invested in 500 Bitcoin instead of in one house, you would not have participated in this deflation. And so, of course, hindsight is 2020, but what this is expressing is that Bitcoin has an extremely powerful dynamic inside of it. And that dynamic is deflation. It exists in an inflationary system in which prices are always expanding because it is the express policy of the central banks themselves. And the governments are the sponsors of that policy because they have chartered the central banks. So government and central banks have an inflationary policy, but Bitcoin in its supply is designed to exist with a deflationary power. And so when we talk about Bitcoin preserving wealth, which is Adam's original question, does it preserve wealth? All you have to do is look at this last chart here of the median U.S. home priced in Bitcoin. It continues to go down and down and down because Bitcoin doesn't grow in an inflationary way like the rest of the system. And so this is the magic of Bitcoin for wealth preservation. Now, please remember that this is not investment advice. This is not a recommendation to sell other assets and to buy Bitcoin as a because of its deflationary properties. Everybody has to make their own investment decisions, and it requires real capital to purchase Bitcoin and participate in this wealth preservation. So we hope you guys enjoyed this video. Make sure to do your own investment research. Subscribe to this channel. Rate and review if you guys are listening on audio. And make sure to subscribe to our free research publication at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. And we hope to see you in our virtual Q&A on Thursday. Catch you next time. The Bitcoin Layer is proud to be sponsored by River. River is a Bitcoin-only exchange, and we think it is the best place for you guys to get allocated if you have made that decision to purchase Bitcoin. So go check them out at river.com/TBL for a special offer of up to $100 in Bitcoin for free when you purchase.